KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, today east winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight east winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And Saturday, variable winds 10 knots, becoming southwest 15 in the afternoon, seas 4 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory tonight. Today, east winds 30 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, east winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet. And Saturday, east winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 11 feet with rain. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, becoming southeast 20 after midnight, seas 8 feet with rain. And Saturday, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 6 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, east winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet. And Saturday, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. And Saturday, south winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain likely mainly before 10 a.m. Cloudy with highs near 42. East winds 10 to 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 35. Tonight, rain likely mainly after 1 a.m. Cloudy with lows around 39. East winds 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 35. And Saturday, rain likely, mainly before 7 a.m. Cloudy, highs near 43, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 1:06 a.m. at 6 feet 6 inches, a low at 7:44 a.m. at 5 inches, a high tide at 1:56 p.m. at 5 feet 3 inches, and a low at 7:24 p.m. at 2 feet. Your sun rose at 6:42 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:35, bringing us up to 15 hours and 52 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Don't make me walk this chopper. Big whip, you know we ride it. No place for you to hide it. Drop location and we slide it. Don't make me walk this chopper out. Don't IG flex, we cool and pull a hop out with them shoulders. Boy, you gon' make me do this, please. Please, please, please.
Welcome back to the Plug House Podcast. I am your host, Mike Pettirock, and as always, I got my dog Train with me.
Chugga, chugga, choo, choo. What it do, boy?
And we back here with Starbucks out of Fairbanks.
It's good with you, man.
Hey, all right, man. From the side, baby. From the side, this podcast is sponsored by Magic Media. You can hit them up on TikTok and Instagram on at the Glamour Bar. GlamourBard. Anyways, we had I feel like it was just recently that you were here, but you were like, man, that was 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's November. Yeah.
So we're back today for a special episode because you got to knock some shit out because you're about to go somewhere.
Yeah, I got to sit out for a little while, man. I took a pled out to 3 years flat, so I do 2-on-3. I'm getting ready to go away. So before I go away, I'm trying to leave my imprint on the game as far as hip hop is concerned and the culture and the community. So I'm dropping this project.
And as soon as you had your judgment day, you start getting to work, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, because I knew I was tight on time, and sometimes I function better under pressure.
I see you. Right. I see you going live damn near every fucking day. You're in the
Rob put me on that shit, bro. Yeah, like yeah, Rob put me on that shit. He's like, man, you got to get on TikTok. So then I went to TikTok and I got over a few thousand followers. And I try to go live with TikTok. You got to do a vetting. They do a vetting process first. So I felt like I was I felt like the government was taking my information. You have to put your driver's license down.
Really?
Take a picture of yourself. Send them all this shit. I'm like, man.
Just to go live?
Just to go live. Once you get, I think you have to have 1,000 followers in order to go live. Made me uncomfortable as a man. I felt like it was like a lineup picture.
Yeah, like you were applying for a job or something.
Yeah. So I did that, and then I couldn't go live. And Ross just like, hey, man, you really have to utilize that because that's the way people want to see.
Yeah.
Like, they want to see the process. They
want to be able to tap in immediately and talk to you.
Yeah, so I went live a few times. I don't know if I'm going to be on that shit no more.
Do you like the TikTok more than the Instagram, or what's popping for you?
I'm an Instagram guy, but my algorithm on there is fucked up. It's just...
What do you mean?
Beautiful women.
Oh, you don't like too many pictures.
Yeah, I didn't like the wrong pictures and videos, man. But my algorithm is filled with baseball, beautiful women, and funny videos. So it's rare I see rap on there.
So you got this new album you're about to drop.
Yeah, From Me to the Side.
Why did you go with that as a title?
To the Side.
The Side is the south side where you're from.
South side of town and where I'm from.
Good, man.
I was internally battling with some things for a second because I felt like where I was from didn't love me right as far as my music and my movement was concerned. I felt like the people that should be supporting me and being behind me wasn't right, but I was just overthinking and I reflected on, I was cleaning out my DMs and I came across several DMs and text messages of people being like, yo, man, this is what your music does for me. This is what it means to me. You know, man, even though I'm not even in Alaska anymore, I feel I can listen to this album or listen to your music and I feel at home. So it's just basically, you know, telling my side of town and my city where I'm from, like, this is for you. Like, this ain't for nobody else in the world. Nobody else in the world has to listen to this. But I hope you do, right? And
yeah,
I hope,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's
I feel, yeah.
It.
Yeah, you know, so.
Like, oh, I know where that's at.
Yeah, the people, the places, the shit I talk about, you know what I mean? It's for my, this for my home, where I'm from.
So what's your thought process when you decided to make this album before you know you had a Judgment Day? What did you feel like you needed to accomplish? What needed to be on this project?
I didn't want it to be rushed, right? And at the time, I was having a really hard time. I wanted to elevate as an artist and as a writer. Right, I wanted to get better. I feel like every time I come out, I should get better as an artist.
Progress,
right? Yeah. I should progress, and I was seeking higher ground so I could reach for a higher purpose. But I just wasn't, the music I was writing, it didn't inspire. Like, I was like, man, I don't want to put this out. I don't think this is popping. I don't think this is, you know. And I just locked in, man, and I wanted to not only grow, but I wanted to be vulnerable in certain areas. But I wanted to show people that I've grown, but I become more skilled as a rapper and a songwriter, right? So that's where it came from. But then, you know, with shit, when you're under the gun and you tight on time, right?
Then you feel rushed.
But pressure. most people do. But you, brother, I knew this was coming. I'm at peace, right?
Yeah, you was prepared.
I'm prepared. I'm at peace. You know what I mean? This is the hardest thing I have left to do. You know what I mean? Is to complete this album and this project. You know what I mean? So I'm at peace. I'm locked in. I'm focused. And all it takes is one or two records. I've been working with my sister. I've worked with my sister in over 10 years. She's a phenomenal singer and songwriter. And when you love somebody, right, you have a relationship with them. You can't always have a working relationship because it's difficult, right? You bump heads and shit.
Business.
It's family and business. You don't want to mix that shit. But me and my sister unpacked a lot of things. And so she's been, she's on this project several times in the form of singing and writing and penning with me, you know what I mean? And just trying to take this to the next level.
So how did you figure out who you wanted to feature on this album? Did you like make a list first? And
And there's still a couple people. There's some people that I reached out to and I got music with them, but it didn't fit the pop pocket or direction of the album. But that's just more ammo, you know what I mean? And I've thought about, you know, shooting some of them, those records. Hey, you keep the record. It's for you. Just put it out. You know what I mean? Tag me in it, whatever. You know, but I felt like this was kind of like my All Eyes on Me. If you go back to Pac's All Eyes on Me, it has several features on it, right?
Yep.
I want to show that I could carry the weight. I think my last album, I showed that I could carry the weight of an album and keep people interested by going most of it alone by myself. So most of those records on that last album is just me, you know, all three verses or two verses and writing hooks and being there, you know what I mean? And only incorporating a small sprinkle of people in this particular project. Yeah, I got several records where I carry the weight. It's just me. But there's people that I wanted to inspire people, right? I wanted to show people in the culture, like, yo, my nigga, we really with this shit. We over here. We got it going. We got it moving. And I wanted to show more unity than anything, right? Like, even though I'm from Fairbanks, right, the south side of Fairbanks, I f*** with some Anchorage niggas from the east side,
yep.
from Fairview and Mountview, and just, you know, just to show people, like, you know what I mean? I f*** with people from different walks of life, you know what I mean? So that's all just, I really wanted to touch on that, but like I said, I really wanted to make it like a, hey, this is like a open letter, right?
Yep.
And a confession to my town and my city where I'm from, like, I love you, you know what I mean? And I always want to come out and I always want to represent you well and set the bar high.
Now, when I was messaging you, and I was like, let me get, you know, maybe some songs or a track this, and you wouldn't give me nothing.
Yeah, I'm a
At
weird.
First you were like, no, I'm not trying to keep it to myself. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I need something so I can do my part as the interviewer.
Because I want it to be a treat, man. I want some of it to be a treat when you hear it, like opening a present, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I don't want to be spoiled and get some of it and then get the album. And then
you're like,
then it's not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it don't have that effect on you.
I respect that.
But because a lot of the music, there's only a small handful of things that I have to do to create, to finish it, to complete it. It's just some touch-up work. But a lot of the records are done, right? They're done.
Did you have like you jotted a list of like, what's 10, 12, 17 songs and be like, these are the ones that are going to be on the album? Or
that's the process I'm in now, the cutting process, right? It's like when you make it, when niggas is trying out for a team,
mm-hmm.
you know, each day that goes by, you listen to the record more or you critique the record more or you arrange it or you change shit, and then you go back and listen to it and you be like, you know what? This one ain't going to make it.
Do you have a set number? Like you want X amount of songs?
15, right?
Okay.
I got more than that in the vault, but 15, but I think 12, 15 to 12 to 10 records, but I think I got to go with the 12 portion of it just to, I write records in concept form, right? Yep. I don't just be making a bunch of rap and then call the album something. The whole album, the name always means something. It's all an entire concept.
It's got to tie in.
I got to make it make sense.
Or it's not an album.
Yeah, not to me.
Yeah.
It's just a mixtape. And normally, if you look over the handful of years, every time before I come out with an album, I drop a mixtape that didn't make the album. But this time, music is different. It's all about content.
Yep.
So, you know, I shoot some of these records to some other people, be like, yo, Pederock, man, yeah, you did this for me, but here, you keep the record. Put some artwork with it and put it out like it's yours. It's cool. I ain't even tripping.
Yeah.
You know, because the more I'm circulating.
Yeah. That was another question I had. I said, did you do any features for other people during this time?
It was really hard, man, because I tried on, because I'm one of those artists, man, where like I pour everything into what I'm doing, right? I stop listening to people's music. I don't want to be influenced by anybody else. I don't want to be it said that I sound like somebody else. I don't want to steal a nigga's flow pattern. I don't want to do none of that. And also, I'm selfish. I don't want to give you a gem, right? I've done that before. Like, goddamn, I should have kept that verse.
I was cooking
with hot grease. I should have kept that verse. But no, man, so... Yeah, I did some for Jay Simmons. I got to stop in Portland for a day and do one with my homeboy Absolute. Shout out Absolute, man. I got to do a record for him with him. And then I got to do one for Snarly Brown. So this is the stuff I got to complete for other individuals. And I'm
before
close
your timeline.
Before my timeline. So I'm under the gun a little bit as far as my features are concerned. I did one for a homie out in Oregon, my homie Maxwell. He shot me some bread. I was in the area, and I was just in my bag that day. And he was like, yo, you're here? I was in Eugene, Oregon. He's like, you're here? I was like, yeah, brother. He said, man, can I get you in the studio, OG? He's like, I got some money for you and everything. I said, shit, nigga. Right now, I'm about my paper. Yeah. I would have did it for free, but you talking money? Yeah, we on the way.
I got you. Now I'm going.
We on the way.
Yeah.
And so, that says a lot about him and what he think about you, though.
It did. And you know what? And it made me feel good. Because he said, do you remember me? I was like, hell yeah, I remember you, man. I met you through my homeboy, Dusty Fuller. I knew who I met him through Dirty. I was like, I met you through Dirty, man, and yada yada yada. He's like, I said, man, I'm surprised you remember me. He said, man, you OG out here, you a legend, man. Like, I remember, you know what I mean? Yada yada yada. He said, I own a restaurant now, and me and my wife, and I got a studio, and yada yada yada. I got my dude in there, my engineer, and he shoot videos, slide through. He said, I'll shoot you. He said, I'll shoot you some bread, and you could tap in with my man for some free content. I was like, yeah, I'm on the way. Deal. My son, yeah. I was sitting there with my Deal. Son watching TV. He said, where you going? I said, definitely going to get bust a rap check real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever, nigga. I said, watch. I said, watch. I'm finna go get this money and come right back. That's going to take me about 2 hours.
If someone was going to send you a feature, does it have to be mixed and all that, or could it be rough?
It could be rough, brother. It could be rough because what I do is when it come to me on my end, I'm going to care for my end. So when you get it back, you're going to be like, you're going to make sure you care for your end. And sometimes there's some young niggas that I know, I'd be like, all right, shoot me the session. Shoot the session over. Don't just shoot the wave. Shoot the whole session over. And I'll get with my guy. We'll go in there. I'll make him touch you up, you know, because sometimes you want to give a hand up to another young or somebody trying to make their way.
Yeah.
Here, brother, here's how your shit should sound.
Yeah.
Right? It's quality. We want quality. We want quality over quantity, you know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so how much time are you spending in the studio right now?
Yesterday was 6 hours. The day before, if I could do 12-hour days, I would. But those days are on the back end of this thing because those days get long and hard because you're arranging music. I don't just rap, right? Most people would just assume you're a rapper. You just go in and you rap and you walk out. I write music. I pin hooks. I have vocalists come in. I have them hit notes. I arrange the music, take the drums out. Let the bass line run right here. You know what? Give me a drop right here so this punchline in this bar lands. Yeah, I co-produce records. You know, hey, man, you know what? Get rid of that lead. I don't even want that lead no more. Take that lead out the whole record. You know, I know what the producer wanted, but I bought it. I paid for it. He's been paid. They've been paid. So I'm going to co-produce this how I think it should sound.
Yeah, because
it's my right? Yeah.
So you just go in there and pay for like 12 hours and you're not really ready to go. You just got a bunch of things you want to do and then you might rap a little bit of that time.
9 times out of 10, I know what I want to do when I walk in. Sometimes the back end portion of Black Polar Bear was from scratch. So I didn't have nothing on pen and I walked in and built from scratch, from production to my song, the lyrics, the hooks and shit. And I normally never work like that, but the vibe was so good and the music just kept coming out and I was proud. I liked a lot of the music, so I was just like, fuck it, we gonna run with it. But most of the time, my is ready. I go in, I be like, look, Pedrock, you finna come in? You gonna sing it like this, right? You gonna do it like this. Hey, Raw, we gonna take this bass line out, or we gonna have the bass line in, or we gonna do this, you know? And that's how I do it. That's how I work, you know?
Way more than a rapper.
Yeah, I consider myself an artist. Like, yeah, because I'm a fan of music. If I could sing, niggas would be sick of me. They'd be like, here come this singing ass nigga Mike, man.
That singing rapping ass.
Yeah, here come this singing rapping
crack
ass.
Crack your melon.
Nigga, crack your melon. Sing to your bitch and crack your melon, nigga. But I can't sing to save my life, nigga. I can't sing nothing. They had me in there the other day. I got a breakdown at the end of one of my verses. And we on live. And Keola done put the auto-tune on me.
Oh, man.
And I'm on live, and I'm like, man, this is not for me. I said, we going to try. What I'll do is lay this down for a reference track for my sister so she can see the pockets that I'm in because she's going to be able to figure out the notes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She'll see the pockets, how I'm hitting it. We're going to get this to her. But Slice called in while I was – he called in while I was recording. He called in because he was watching it live. He's like, hey, put this auto-tune on him like this and do it like this. And he said, hey, man, sing that soft and airy. I said, man, I don't know how to do that shit.
Yeah.
He said, I know you're uncomfortable. It sounds weird. Just do it. So I ended up doing this, man. And
did it fit better?
Right. It was all right. But then, you know, I'm one
it's
of them.
It's still
niggas.
Not you.
Yeah, still, yeah, it wasn't me. So I slept on it. I woke up early in the morning. I barely been sleeping. That's why I got these shades on. I woke up early in the morning and I took it. And I listened to that show. I said, I'm not putting this on this. I said, this is not going not on this show. I said, my sister finna come in here and finna have her brother's back and polish this off. Because this ain't for me.
Right, huh?
Oh, yeah, man, yeah.
It's good to have a reference, though.
It is. And I feel like I learned that in working with her, right? Because I can't communicate in
Singering
singer, yeah. singer vocabulary and lingo. I don't. I can't. And then I don't. And then I'm over here like, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. And they looking at a nigga like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. But they get it. The singers get it.
Normally when I deal with vocalists, I let Raw communicate with him. Because he's like, hey, man, shut up. You're confusing him.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah, you f***ing up the motion, so.
He's recorded all kinds of people, so I'm sure he knows multiple languages.
Extremely skilled, man. Extremely talented. I think what most don't understand, and I'm standing on this, and I feel what people don't realize is Raw Beats is probably one of the most influential people in the hip hop culture in the state of Alaska.
Absolutely.
You got to come through Raw, right? You got to. He moved to Houston. That's why I be going to Houston. Because I've been working with Raw since 2006, 2007, brother. Like, we got to, not only do we have a business relationship, but we got a friendship. He'll talk crazy to me. Nigga, that shit whack.
As he should.
Be like, man, Mike, don't do that shit. Look, come out the booth. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna show you. You know what I mean?
I saw you on the live the other day. You were replaying the songs back, and you were catching some of the lines you were saying, and you're like, well, I gotta fix that. The COVID line or whatever. You put too much in there, and you didn't get it off.
Exactly.
I see a lot of people these days, these younger kids will just be like, oh, it's good. No, you need to listen to that 100 times and then be like, nah, I could have said that one line
like
better, and it's worth it to go back
and fix it because it keeps the continuity of the whole record.
Yeah,
it keeps the continuity of the whole record. So that's what I was doing yesterday, and then I went in and worked on some music yesterday. That was difficult for me to do, but I had to get it knocked out. I kind of saved
it. You spend more time replaying it than you do recording it.
Yes.
Replaying
it, analyzing it. Because for me, there's processes. There's the come up with the concept, then there's the writing, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's to make sure the shit right. You go through the editing process. So now I'm rapping my shit to myself. I'm like, I got to take that word out, put this word in. And then once I complete that, I say, all right, I'm going to go in here and knock the record out. Then I go in and knock the record out. I listen to it another day. All right, I can fix this. I can pause here. I can breathe there. I can do that better. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to fix that area. And then the next step of the process for me is, once I got the lyrics and I'm in my pocket and all my shit, right, I go back and I say, all right, now I'm going to listen to this from an artistic standpoint. All right, where I'm going to take this, I want this punchline to land, so I'm going to give a drop. I'm going to make sure I have a drop right here, right? Or yep. I hear somebody singing on shit, they're just going to sing a little bit. They're not going to sing a lot, and they're just going to sing in this spot right here. Right, so that's the whole creative process for me, because it's not just go in and rap and walk out and don't touch it no more. Mm-mm. Right, I call it a slow brew. They say, man, you Starbucks, but I said this is slow brew on this side, brother.
Yeah. You punch in a lot or what?
Some records. I had a record that's really dope, man. It's called Psilocybin Project Pat Flow, and it's a different bounce for me. It's a different pocket for me.
Okay.
And so I had to punch that in, but that bitch is ride,
like,
bro.
Like every line or
no, some just a lot of them. It just because you have to, in order to get it off and to get it to land right. You need to make sure that you have breath, a good breath, breathing control, mm-hmm. right? And pronunciation. So in this record, there's a lot of pronunciation, right? Mm-hmm. And bouncing in pockets.
Very particular.
Yeah, very particular. So if you're going to come off on it, you're going to bounce on it, you got to do it right. But then there's sometimes, nigga, I go in, psh, bam, like Slice recorded Hold On To This. That's not even going on the album. That's just some shit I put out. So Slice recorded Hold On To This. I'm sitting on the bed. He recorded me. I'm sitting on the bed, nigga. Bang, psh, 3 minutes max. That's maxed mean? Out. Psh, over. Some records like that. I got a record called Razor Ramon, one of my hardest records. My son will tell you this story. My son was young. He was young. And I brought him to this nice studio, and they had a game system in the studio. And I said, don't get too comfortable. We won't be here long. And he said, oh, man, dad, you take forever. He go into the room. I go in. I one take Jake it. It's one take. You can hear me say it at the end of the record. One shot, one kill. You know what I mean? So it just depends on where you at in your bag and your comfortability of your delivery and getting and making sure you pop your shit.
You've been rapping for so long. Do you still pen and pad, or are you on the phone now?
Some records, the deeper records, pen and pad, right? Because it take time to write those, right? Yeah. You know, and then other records, I be on the move. I got a bunch of kids. I got a bunch of shit going on. And so I be in the car. I be on the move. And I just be like, bam. Sometimes bitches be like, you're always on your phone. Because sometimes I'm just writing raps.
It's more than a phone.
It's more than a phone. It's a, I got a whole computer in my hand. I got a, yeah, yeah, yeah. this is magic. This is a magic wand. Yeah. You feel me? Like, is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole business in this thing.
In this, and I got motion in this. Trust me. So,
so when you're in the studio and you're rapping, you're reading off the phone. How do you?
Or my notepad.
For these younger guys who do that, I feel like I hear a lot too many songs that sound like you're reading.
That's why, and that's why my recording process is, I have an editing process. I rapped it. I wrote it. It's here. Now I'm finna listen to this beat, and while I'm in the shower, or I'm in the car, or I'm f***ing off, now I'm finna rap this shit.
Yeah.
Right? I'm finna see how this shit pop off. I'm finna see how, remove that, keep that. Don't say it like that. Say it like this. You know what I mean? So for me, that is my process, right? And that's what I would suggest to anyone else, is like I said, who wants to put out quality music. That's just a suggestion. How you do your process is your own. I've worked with some people, bro, that are so talented and so flawless, dog. I'm just flat out amazed. I'm like, God damn, man. Like, I just watched that nigga write it right here and then pop that shit. Just like that.
Just like that
and pop that.
Problem.
No problem. So, you know, I always tell people, like, I had to work at rap, man. So on that record I sent you with me, that's where you hear me say like, my aunt found my notebook and she said my rhymes were ass. Damn. That's what she said to me. Damn. Her and my mom laughed at me. They tell the story all the time. But I was horrible, you know? And when I got with my group members, I was so motivated. I would spend 10, 12 hours a day in the studio writing verses and writing songs and trying to get better. You know, they did, old man. They laughed at me.
Yeah.
They laughed at me. They was.
Yeah, everybody got to start from somewhere, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know? They laughed. So I take my craft seriously, right? And I know that there's some people, I listen to other people's music and watch their videos, and some people are probably better than me, right? They might be better than me, right? But they're not going to outwork me. And anytime my shit comes out, the quality of my shit, I roll out from my album cover, my artwork, to my videos, to my presentation, I'm always going to make sure I set the bar high.
That you always do.
Talent any day.
Yeah, yeah. And
not you saying know, you're not nice, though.
I think I'm the most skilled. I'm going to say that with confidence. I'm going to stand on that. I think I'm the most skilled rap across artist from here. Yeah.
Across the board.
I think so. That's Reggie my personal
Ward,
opinion.
Reggie Ward the other day shared your flyer for your going away party, and he was like, if Starbucks isn't in your top five, then you don't have a list.
I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. You know what? Last year we was in South by Southwest, and before we went, because that's when all the Alaska artists went and had a showcase. Yep. Before we went, I sat and had a talk with Snarly Brown. And, you know, I'm openly admitting this because I'm secure in my masculinity, and sometimes you have to get past shit. And I said, he said, what's wrong with you, man? I said, I feel like I don't get the recognition I should as an artist from here. And I said, I don't know if it's just me in my head, right, or if I'm just tripping, right, or if I don't know what's going on internally. And you know, me and Starley dissected everything and talked about it. Well, I leave and I go to this this showcase in South by Southwest, and I bump into St. Dion. Shout out to St. Dion. And just out of nowhere, bro, he's just like, man, like, he just gave me my flowers and was just like, bro, I watch all your stuff, how you roll your shit out, like, I look up to you. I see how you move, how you're moving, and I just want to let you know, like, my nigga, like, I see you. And that was just it was random. And I said, man, you don't know how much that means to me.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So sometimes self-doubt always creeps in.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the times the people who you've impacted the most, you don't come across enough to hear the feedback that you're looking for.
Yeah. And I had to do, when I was going through my DMs, I did some reflecting, man. Like, I had to tell Slices, like, man, that album that we put out, you know, back in 2015 or 2016, I said, man, do you know how influential that is to people in a culture, and like what people say to me? Are they saying the same things to you? Are you getting the random video clips of a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old who wasn't even born rapping I'm from Fairbanks to you and knowing your lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. Do you see people of age or older sending you about the song Rickard? Like, I'm like, man, I know I'm not the only guy getting this stuff. You know what I mean? And that project is so far removed, like, you know.
Yeah,
and
it's old now.
It's old. And, like, to me, I'm like, I feel like I'm a not only a better person, but I'm a better artist, right,
that's
since then.
I told you that shit was fire. You was like, bro, that's the old
shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So what do you, how was this album any different than your other albums?
The vulnerability in a sense of the confidence, right? The confidence to talk about my transgressions as a man, right? To talk about my toxic relationships with my old man and my community, right? You know, be open and admitting to having, thank you, brother, to be open and admitting to how taking losses made me feel.
Accountability.
We talked about that last time I was here, but yeah, man. And when I listen to it, I'm my harshest critic, right, on my music and anything that I do.
You gotta be.
And I have to be. But in this particular instance, like, when I play the records back, I'm like, man, you're in your bag, right? You're ready. You've gotten better. You're getting better. You know what I mean? You're writing better songs. You're picking the right features and the right pockets to bounce on this shit. You know what I said on the record? I got a record where I say, I'm not rapping like a nigga that's from somewhere. I'm rapping like a nigga that's from right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how I feel, brother. That's where I'm at. That's where my head is at. That's where my pen is at. It's been potent lately. I've been on niggas' helmets. It's been potent lately. I've been on their helmets.
What do you hope that people get from this album?
Inspiration, right? Learn to be resilient in the face of adversity, right? And know that everything ain't peaches and cream, and somebody gonna always have something to say about you. Somebody gonna always try to stop your emotion, and the majority of the time it's the closest people to you.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you gotta push through that.
Terrible.
It's life, brother. It's life. If there's some other where I wrote some shit, I was like, yeah, I can't say that, man. Like, I'm not gonna say that because
that's what you took it back.
Because here's the thing, I don't make music to hurt the people closest to me or the people that I love, right? I do make real music. I had a cousin. I had someone in my family's like, that's not real. And I'm like, and it inspired me to write on that last album, How Real Is That?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I talked about things that family members would know, right? And some of my aunts were off. They called me, and some of them don't even know how to text. They was trying to text me and shit. Like, well, which one of us said they wished that you died? I was like, Auntie, look, we ain't even finna get into that. I know I ain't said no shit to you like that. One sec, I have to take this, my sister, man.
Yeah, go for it, man.
What's up?
Nothing. I finally got into it and was listening. So
that's that. Hey, listen. That's one of the records. I gotta send you the other record. But what was you saying? Go back. You cut out. Say that over again, please.
I'm saying, so like on the hook part, do you want me to like sing with the guy? Or like,
yeah, but you gonna bring the soul. And then at the back end of the record, you gonna just show out, right? And you see how the record slows down, the sample slows down. That on that back end, you gonna show out back there, right? You gonna do your runs and shit back there, right? In the hook, we're going to keep the hook kind of simple and straightforward. You're going to sing it. Okay. Those vocals that are there are going to assist you, right? They just come back like background vocals or like different notes. But when you get to the back end of the record is when you're going to show out and you're going to do your runs and you're going to have your own pocket.
Okay, cool.
All right. I'm with you, Dad. I'm in the middle of an interview. I apologize. I had to take that call because I knew what you was calling about. I'll send you the other record over when I leave here. All right, peace. Love you.
Peace.
See, that's how I've been working, brother.
About this album.
I had to. I had to take.
No, you're good. I'll cut that out or leave it, depending.
You can leave it, man. That's your call.
It's real.
I never try to put. You know what I mean? If you ask me a question, I don't want to answer, or I'm uncomfortable with, I know to not answer it. I'm never gonna be like, nigga, take that out. Edit that out.
Yeah.
You got it, boss. You caught a nigga slipping. I had one of those moments.
Yeah.
You know. But
what was something that you had to learn on your own musically that you wish somebody had taught you sooner?
You're gonna pay for your education, right? You're gonna invest in this thing. and you're gonna have the grand illusion of you're investing in this, and you're gonna see a return that is not the truth. You're gonna make some investments in this thing that where you get from them is education. You learn. You know what? If I do that, I'm gonna do it like this this time, or the next time,
or the last time,
or I'm not gonna do that. You know what I mean? So I learned. I got burned from an artist. I ain't gonna say their name. I got burned from an artist. And here's the thing: I only want to do the record with the artist. He's more of a battle rapper. I wanted to do the record with the artist to challenge myself to go bar for bar on this record. It was me. It's calisthenics, nigga. I'm trying to see where I match up, nigga, for real. Yeah. That's, you know, and I think, in my personal opinion, when I listen to you, you're elite, right? But you're a rapper's rapper, right? He's like, if you shoot me all the bread, yada, yada, now I'll do a video with you and I'll do promo for my page, right? So I shot the bread. He go ghost.
Oh,
right?
Bad rapper.
I got money. It ain't no thing. I'm an earner. I get it back. But then I reached out professional. He tapped back in. He's like, ah, oh, yada, yada, yada. I was like, cool. Then he stalled me out.
Drag.
Then he stalled me out. Yeah, that's what it was. He stalls me out about another month and a half. I reach out to him again. He responds, but when he responds in disappear mode. So then I already knew, like, what you think I am, like, not smart, my nigga? Yeah. You know, you concerned about probably legal ramifications, but I'm a street nigga. The game been good to me. I see you, I run into you. I'll come across you. Yeah. Long story short, he ended up getting bagged, going to prison. So I reached out to his people, but also at the same time, I know what it's like to be in jail. I know what it's like to be in prison, and I'm on my way. So I've showed grace. But, and like I said, the game been good to me. Will I come across him again? Like my nigga Skeeter Heisman said, you're always everywhere you're supposed to be.
Yeah. So how many features you got on this project?
I got features in different capacities. So, and I'm really hoping to get a good feature from Fairview-ish and Bird. I reached out to them, so I'm going to see how my session goes tonight, see if I can invite them in and we can do something from scratch. Right? Nice. But I got a... You know, you never know who's going to make... I got one record that is definitely making the album. I got a feature with Josh Boots and Red, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Joker comes in and lays his verse tonight. But
when you sit there and you say, I don't know if I get enough respect or from my community that I think I deserve or whatnot, if you can reach out to those two and get a feature, what do you need?
It made me feel good because we got in a group chat. We don't group chat, right?
Yeah.
We more face-to-face type, all of us, right? And I reached out, and we had this group chat, and we put the plan together, bro. Like, they were like, we can't meet, we can't be there this. I said, if I shoot a video, because me and Boots like the shit, like, Red from the jump, Red said he was with it. The shit turned out so cold. I was like, hey, man, y'all niggas want to shoot a video? And they's like, hell yeah. And I was like, and we just mapped out our schedules and the logistics. Bro, Red flew in for 6 hours, bro. He's getting ready to go on tour. He lives in Hawaii. He was going back to Maui, going back to Hawaii and shit, you know, be with his family and, you know, because he's getting ready to go on tour here in Alaska.
What more do you need? How do you not feel like the man?
It made me feel good. It did. It made me feel good. And I thanked those guys and gave them their flowers. And when we got to the shoot, niggas was uptight, like, you know, shit, they trying to find sauce. And Voss broke out a bottle of XO Crown. And we got to drinking. And niggas started telling stories and jokes. And it just popped off after that.
That sounded like a good time.
It was a good time. Boots took us to some place and we're drinking and shit. So, yeah, man, we had day drinking. I tell you, I can't be hanging out with white boys day drinking no more.
Yeah, that reminds me of how, you know, the like in the NBA, NFL, whatever, you have the fans list, and it won't look nothing like the players list.
Yeah.
The players will be like, oh, no, that boy bad right there. But the fans will be like, he's not that great.
Yeah.
But the dudes playing against him is like, he a bad motherfucker.
And that's why they in the stands.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
And you did end up sending me that Boots and Red track, and bro, that's some legendary.
I know, man. I'm excited about it, man. He's been around for the inception of it, and I started to not visually document the process behind it, but I said, man, there's no one's ever going to believe me, right?
Yeah, yeah, you're saying that.
Yeah, there, no one's ever going to believe me. This is going to be a far-fetched, this is just some, oh, that's a fairy tale backstory. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I got him to get the footage, and he sent some of it to me. I was like, man, fuck it. We just going to document this run for the next 30 days. We going to get everything.
He's going to make a really good documentary.
Yeah, he coming with me to L.A. and shit. Yeah, so we gonna see how this run goes.
There's so many things that a newer, younger artist can learn from something like this.
Yeah, yeah, and that's part of my whole plan is to leave an imprint, right? Even though I'm gone, right, I still gonna leave my imprint. I'm gonna leave a good imprint, right? And also, I'm setting a bar high, right, for everyone, right? If you gonna put this shit out, you gonna do this shit. When I get off a plane somewhere and I'm with somebody, they respect me, bro, right? And it's because how I carry myself, right? I walk in with my chest out. I do good business, you know, and I learned a lot of that. I was telling Joker the other day, I said, man, I ain't never gone nowhere in this country and someone mention your name and have any negative thing to say about you. And they're always like, man, do you know him? Or, oh, man, that's a good nigga, man. I told him, I said, bro, I was like, to me, that inspires me to make sure when I go places, it lets me know that whenever he went places, he represented Alaska well, mm-hmm. right? Because, and still to this day, when I first got with my group homies, this was back in like 2001, 2002, they're like, you're from Alaska? And the white homie and my homeboy Anthony Danz, who's on this project, shout out Danz, they're like, yo, you know Joker the Bell Burns? I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah, and that's like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, bro. And so it was crazy because right before he fell, I threw a show in Fairbanks with Yuck Mouth. And me and Yuck, the people that knew Yuck Mouth plugged me in, an OG homie from out here plugged me in, but Joker knew him. And so Joker shows up, bro. And I'm so f***ing like, oh, Joker's at my show. He's at my party. Like, I was like, oh, and then he comes up to me and says, yo, can I perform? I let this nigga come out perform right before Yuck Mouth goes on. I'm supposed to perform before Yuck Mouth goes on. I let him take the slot, and then I rapped after Yuck Mouth. But I didn't care because, like, I'm like, man, this is Joker. My whole city came out. No violence. It's cracking. Yeah. You know what I mean? I got that footage, too. I got footage dating back 25 years, brother. I got that footage, too.
You need to stop sitting on some of that shit.
So here's the thing. I needed to get to someone who can curate it properly and tell the story, right? And here's the thing. You want to tell a story, but the way the social media and the internet is now, you got 90 seconds to tell a story.
Yeah.
You got 15 seconds to grab their attention and hold it for the rest of the remainder.
Yeah.
You don't want a documentary like that or the footage like that to fall on blind eyes and deaf ears. It needs to be seen. So I need to figure out if it's marketing dollars that need to go behind it, but I also need a person that's going to take the time and devote 110% into curating it.
Yeah.
And it has to be, and preferably it's got to be someone from here, right? From the footage for here. And then someone from the Oregon area. Cause people don't realize like I got a footprint in Oregon
out there.
Yeah. Like that's where I started when I started really doing it for serious.
Sound like a short film.
It is, bro. I got so much footage, and it's so hard to watch because there's so many people that are dead and gone and passed away. And I know that it makes me feel a way, right? And I wonder how it's going to make the people close to me feel that these people aren't here anymore, right? So there's from friends to family.
Everybody who was there.
The experience. So you have to take that into consideration too, right? It's a lot. And it's one of those things. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do this right. It's going to be right, and we have to make sure that we put it out right to where people see it and know about it.
And I'm curious to know what kind of records are on this project, since you don't want to give me none. What I like about you is that you're not just rapping to rap. You touch on a lot of real issues in your life, and you're able to present that in the songs.
Yeah, man. I had a record that I had to record yesterday. My old man was there. It was hard for me. It's a lot of things you haven't unpacked, right? And then there's things that you have unpacked, right? But you've never dealt with them accordingly, yep. Right? And so, yeah, there's records. And my homeboy always tells me, man, I love when you rap like that. He goes, when you rap other stuff, that's cool. I like that stuff. He's like, man, but when you talk about that stuff, man, he goes, he said, gives me goosebumps. And I let him hear the rest. So he pulled up on me. He lives in Anchorage. Childhood friend. He's my bullshit meter, right? Super hip hop fan and rap fan, young, old. He'll tell you, nah. And he'll break you down. He'll critique you. He'll be like, you know, but like this. And so he pulled up on me, and I let him hear the record. He said, man, that gave me goosebumps. And I turned and I looked at him, and he had goosebumps. His hair was standing up on his arms. Mm. And he was like, because for me, the record was so emotional. I was like, man, like, I probably don't want to put this out. I'm not here to hurt other people that I love, and I'm also not here to re-listen to this and rehash this and deal with this shit myself
again,
right? But you know, he told me that there's no way that I can't not put that album. And I haven't, that's the record I haven't sent to my sister, because if she doesn't get on it, I won't put it out, because it, and I'm not sure if she's unpacked any of that stuff. I'm not sure if she's ready
to
do that.
She's gonna have to do some of that in order to proceed.
But that's where that record was at. That's where I was at. I touched on things, man, and so it is what it is, brother. But
it sounds like some real shit.
Yeah. It is. It's tough, man. I got a snippet of it up right now in my story on Facebook, and somebody else messaged me and said the same thing. Two people messaged me and said the same thing, and they were like, whoa. You know what I mean?
I saw you had you went live last night, and you had your old man in the studio. He's here today.
Yeah, he with me, man. He with me, man. You know, that's my pops, man. That's some of the stuff I've had. We got a toxic relationship, man. Like, you know, but...
Do you feel like you guys are a lot alike in the areas?
Yes and no.
Of course.
Yes, and I'll answer that honestly. But yeah, there's a lot. I told him, like, I talk on one of the records, I say, people mistake my confidence for arrogance, right? Because I'm a confident man, especially anytime you're a black man and you can walk with your head up and your shoulder square. The white's going to call you an uppity nigga. The nigga's going to think that you better than them, right? Mm-hmm. But why can't it be just I know where I came from and what I've been through and where I'm headed? Why can't I be confident, right? Why can't I walk like that? Why can't I feel like that? Right? I'm not finna walk around with my hands in my pocket and my head down. What type of shit is that? And I got a lot of my confidence from him. Right? And I think there's certain things, even though he didn't grow up in the household and he was dealing with things on his own. But I feel there's certain things when you're a parent and you have they're genetic. Yeah. It don't matter if he was there. And there's, you know, there's just some confidence that I got. There's some sauce that I got. Yeah. I got it from him.
Yeah. Right?
My mom is a very mild-mannered woman, you know, religious woman. And
yeah, but ain't nobody over there eating shit.
Yeah, you feel me?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm not taking no
shit. You know what I mean? And so that's unpacking the toxicity of our relationship. Some people would never understand it. You know, some people trapping with your old man, right? Doing that, some people don't understand that, or you know, your old man battling with addiction, and you know, like you feeding off that. He know where all the clucks are. He know where all the spots are, right? He gonna help. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, so the dynamics of our relationship is toxic. But my cousin said something to me after the death of my cousin a few months ago, because I hadn't spoken to him.
Dang, it was recent.
Yeah, I hadn't spoken to him, and I had written him off as basically some shit from the streets and the game, and. I missed his funeral, and it devastated me because I was trying to fly home from Barrow, and there was bad weather, and the flights got canceled.
And
I wanted to be there, and I know that it made it appear as if like that nigga, right? But that wasn't it. People gonna have their opinion, but my flight got canceled. I ended up coming home three days after his funeral, and I was sitting with my cousin, and we was talking. He was like, "Cuz, you got to learn to let certain shit go, man." He said, man, you know my relationship with my mom, and it was tumultuous and abusive and so on and so forth. He said, cuz, I let that shit go. He said, you got to learn to let shit go, cuz, you know what I mean? And it resonated with me because it hurt me because I loved my cousin, man. We were in the same age group, bro. Like, and like, when I look back at it, you know, we let the game come between us when we never should, right? We spent time together, nigga. We split candy bars in half. We shared soda pops and chips and shit, nigga. Cut each other's hair, shared clothes and shit with each other before the bitches and the money and the shit from the streets ever came into play, right? And you have to
little nigga.
Yeah, you have to lean on that.
Yeah.
Right? You have to lean on that. But it's hard when you a man and you set in your ways and he set in his ways, right? And so you like, man, fuck that nigga, man. But that hurt me. And when he said it, he said, we were just me and him in the bar, and when he said it, it ate me up for the next 2 days I was there, for the next day and a half I was there. And I said, I have to learn to let certain go. There's certain things I don't never let go. But I don't hate my old man, right? And I understand the game. I come from the game, right? Being in the game, having multiple children, moving fast, living fast. You know what I mean? And so I always was civil to him because I respected the game, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew how the game was. But I had to let that go. And so over the last handful of weeks and months, you know what I mean? I had to let it go. Like, just, hey, man, like, move on from that.
For you.
Yeah, for me. It don't even have to be for him. It's for me.
For you.
You feel me? So
that peace of mind.
Right? I let it go back. Can we play these kids? But things change.
They change. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's the way it is.
It's the way it is.
Guapo, you look like you're about to get out of here.
Yeah.
I knew you were standing around waiting for something. I didn't forget. I got this stack of double XLs. I know some of these I told you got your name on them because your old man's in there. Okay.
Let me know. Books and podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. I got you. I ain't forget. All right.
Thank you, brother. Six, man. If you could be there, great. If not, I have to. If your pop shows up, bro, I gotta get that footage, bro.
Yeah, man.
So
send the message.
Listen, if you can't be there, you know your pop's gonna show up about 6:30, 6:45.
Early.
He's gonna be right on time. Yeah, I talked to him. I talked to him.
I told you I was gonna work on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Look at you doing everything you can to make it happen.
Yeah. I had to, man.
Yeah,
I had to, brother. So it's important. I'm thankful. Drive safe, young fella.
I'm off at 7, so.
Yep. He gonna slide at the right time.
We're gonna wrap this up, and we could do some a few random questions.
Yeah,
it's about time for
talk
a bathroom
about my
break.
Website and shit.
We could do that in the beginning of the episode. You got anything you want to add here to close this one out?
From me to the side, May 24th, May 26th, either day is dropping. It'll be on all DSP platforms. It'll be an explicit version, an edited version, so my niggas in the penitentiary can get it. There'll be a documentary coming out behind it. If you tune into Reggie Ward's radio station the weekend of, he going to play the album from front to back because I got an edited version for him to play on the radio. And I feel like this is my best work. Thank everybody that was behind it. We've been on a time crunch. But most importantly, watch the documentary, the mini doc, so you can see, you know, the push this last 30 days before I remand and what I put into this album, what I put into this record. And this ain't for me. This ain't for the rest of the world, man. It's for my city. It's for my town. It's where I'm from me to decide.
Yeah. Man. What you got?
Shit, bitch, I'm from Fairbanks.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Stay tuned, man.
Yeah. Don't make me walk this chopper. Big whip, you know we riding. No place for you to hide and drop location. Don't make me walk the chopper out. Don't IG flex, we cool and pull a hop out with them shoulders. Boy, you gon' make me do this, please, 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 you say we could see. You don't look me again. I
baby, yeah, I'm sorry for you. Dance. You see me, baby, if I pass you, a good motorcar, a good morning, you look at so thin, you begin jealous, you regret so thin, you start to cry, I'm sorry for you, you miss Ruji, baby, I'm sorry for you, eh? You miss Ruji, I'm sorry for you, you miss Ruji. Baby love Mara, Mara no guru. Baby love Mara, Mara no guru. Baby love Mikne, Mikne no guru. Baby love Mikne, Mikne no guru. Baby love Mara, Mara no guru. No guru.
Wined and dined on mulligan stew and never wished for turkey. She's hitched and hiked and drifted too from Maine to Albuquerque. Alas, she missed the Beaux-Arts ball, and what is twice as sad, she was never at a party where they honored Noel Cass. Society, she says, is much too fast, preferring her bohemia first and last. She gets too hungry for dinner at eight. She likes the theater, but never comes late. She never bothers with people she hates. That's why the lady is a tramp. She don't like crap games with barons and earls. Won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a tramp. She likes the free, fresh wind in her hair. Life without care. She's broke, it's old, hates California, cause it's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. She goes to Cody, the beach is divine. She goes to Baldy, the bleachers are fine. She follows Winchell and reads every line. That's why the lady is a tramp. She likes a prize fight that isn't a fake. She loves the rowing on Central Park Lake. She goes to opera, stays wide awake. That's why the lady is a tramp. She likes the green grass under her shoes. What can she lose? She's flat, that's that. She's all alone when she lowers her lamp. That's why the lady is a
Thank you.